Greetings, friends, and welcome back to part 12 in our series on the topic, Why is God allowing so much suffering in our world today? In our previous two programs, we talked about the sins that Satan and Adam committed in the Garden of Eden. Satan's sin was the sin of lying. He said to Eve, "You shall not surely die." And then Eve's sin was that she lusted. She had the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. When she said that she saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and it was a tree that could make her wise, that was her sin. And of course, sin is the transgression of God's commandments. So now today we're going to ask the question, what sin did Adam commit? Adam committed the sin of idolatry. Idolatry is a transgression of the first commandment. The first commandment of God says, "Thou shalt not have any gods before me." Well, idolatry says that there is some other God before the true God. Now let's turn to Genesis, the third chapter, in verse 6, and we're going to see Adam's sin of idolatry. And because Adam sinned, he sucked life out of his soul and ended up in death. And that's the lesson that God wants to teach us. Why he's allowing so much suffering in this world today is because he wants to teach us that sin sucks. Sin is horrible. It's terrible. And it should be intolerable. Sin sucks. And in this case, we're talking about sin sucking life out of the soul and leaving us with death. So let's again read in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that it was a tree that could make her wise, she took of the fruit and ate, and she gave some to her husband. Now what did he do? He knew that he wasn't supposed to eat of this tree, of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And he saw what happened with Eve, that she took of this fruit. And then she gave it to him. What should have been his reaction? He should have said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, woman. I am going to follow God. As for me, I will follow the Lord." That's what he should have said. But instead, he allowed his wife to become his God. He put his wife before God. So he, instead of following the commandment, "Thou shalt not have any gods before me," he transgressed the commandment. He broke the commandment. He put his wife as his God before the one and only true God. Because it says, "And she gave some to her husband, and he ate." Now let's drop down to verse 11 and 12. Same chapter, but verses 11 through 12. God is speaking to Adam here, and God asks, "Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" Now notice Adam's wimpy answer. Adam answered, "Oh, the woman you gave me, the woman you gave me, the woman you gave me, she gave it to me to eat. It's her fault. She gave me of the food, and I ate it." What a wimpy man that was. He should have stood up as the leader of the family, as the one who was following God, and said, "Eve, you have sinned. I will not follow in your footsteps. I will not hearken to you, and I will not hearken to Satan. I will follow God and God only." That's what he should have said. But instead, he wanted to please his wife. He wanted to go with the flow. He didn't want to upset the apple cart, if you will. He didn't want to get on her nerves. Well, maybe there was something else too. Maybe he wanted her to do something for him. And he figured that if he wouldn't do something for her, that she wouldn't do something for him. So maybe he was in it to try to get something. Whatever it was, whether he kowtowed to her or whether he wanted something from her and figured he was going to try to manipulate her, what actually happened is he committed idolatry, because instead of listening to the pure truth of God, instead of listening to the direct command of God, he blatantly disobeyed God and obeyed his wife and took of the fruit when she offered it to him. My question to you now, are you committing idolatry? Have you put family ahead of God, perhaps your wife, or perhaps your children? Have you put obedience to your traditions above obedience to God? Are you committing idolatry? And of course, I'm asking myself the same question. Do I in any way commit idolatry by putting something before God? And idolatry actually means image worship. Now, this can be a literal image, which of course in our supposedly Christian world, we don't have a huge problem with literally bowing down to idols. But this image could be an image of the way we believe we should worship God. So we build this system of worship toward God that is not the way that the true God tells us to worship Him. It's our own concoction. So it is our own God, in effect, our own system of worship, not God's system of worship. God says that we should worship Him in spirit with the right attitude, but also in truth with the right words. So we can't worship God just in spirit, saying, oh, I'm doing this for God, and it yet be falsehood and lies. If we're following that, then we are committing idolatry. So again, I'm going to ask, are you committing idolatry? And I want you to think very, very seriously about what I'm saying. Many of you, and this Christmas season is coming up, right? Many of you know that Christmas is a pagan tradition. Now, my purpose of this program is not to talk about Christmas, but many of you know that Christmas is a pagan tradition, yet you say, oh, but I do it for the kids. I don't do it for me. I know that Christ wasn't born on December 25th. I know that all of the materialism surrounding it isn't good. I know that Santa Claus isn't real. Of course I know all that stuff. But I do it for the kids. Oh, the kids love it. I do it for the kids. Well, isn't that just what Adam was doing? Oh, I'm going to eat this fruit. I'm going to do it for my wife. Do you say the same thing? I'm going to keep Christmas, but I'm going to do it for the kids. I tell you what you are doing for the kids. You're telling them that Santa Claus has more value than Jesus Christ. Everybody identifies Christmas with Santa Claus much more than they do Jesus the Christ. You're also, this is what you're doing for your kids, you're also telling them that lying about a fake godlike figure in a red and white suit delivering gifts across the world is the highlight of the year. That's what you're telling them. You're telling them a lie, because again, it is Santa Claus that's pictured as being the one traveling throughout the world as a godlike figure, delivering gifts to everyone in need, satisfying their needs, bringing joy and cheer. And that's the highlight of the year. There is no other holiday throughout the 365-day year that even comes close to Christmas. People all over the world who have absolutely nothing to do with Christ, nothing at all to do with Christianity, they observe Christmas. So, without a doubt, Christmas is the highlight of the year. And so, by you reinforcing this lie, you are actually telling them that that's the highlight of the year, rather than the truth that the gift of Jesus' death on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, that that's the highlight of the year. That's why Jesus Christ came into the world. That's why He was born in the manger. Not so that you can have some kind of festival giving gifts to one another. It's because He knew that He had to come in the flesh to die for the sins that we have committed in our flesh. That's the highlight of the year, is to observe that festival, that holy day of God. But now let me ask you another question. How many professing Christians observe Passover? You might even be saying, Passover, what's that? Or if you know what Passover is, you're going to be saying, that's Jewish. No, it's not. That's the day in the Bible that God says we should observe. And yet, you probably don't know a single Christian that observes the true Passover. And the true Passover of God is once per year. We're not talking about communion, which is a perversion of the Scriptures. Again, that's a perversion. That's not worshiping God in truth. You don't find that in the Bible. That's a lie, again, straight from Satan. The Passover happens once a year to commemorate the death of Christ. You don't celebrate Christmas once a week. You don't celebrate Christmas once a month. You don't celebrate Christmas once per quarter. You celebrate Christmas once a year because you've believed the lie that Christ was born on December 25th. Or you just said, I know he wasn't, but I'm accepting it. That false pagan tradition anyway. So there's no such thing as a communion once every week or once whenever you want it. The Passover is once per year, and that commemorates the death of Christ on the cross. He died on the Passover day. He is called the Passover Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. And yet, probably only a few of you hearing my voice actually observe the Christian Passover, God's holy day that he wants us to observe. Now, isn't it strange that since the one true God reveals in the Holy Bible that Passover is the day when Yeshua died, and that Passover is to be observed once per year as the highlight of the year, that the world and supposedly Christians at the forefront are the ones who are celebrating a pagan festival that has nothing to do with Christ? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that idolatry? Isn't that what Adam did? Instead of obeying the pure word of God, a direct command from God, he said, well, I'm going to do it for my wife. And people are saying, oh, well, I'm going to do this for my kids. Or, in a lot of cases, people keep Christmas for themselves because they want to get all the gifts. Well, that's enough for Christmas right now. Again, my point is not to debunk Christmas and to educate you on all of the false pagan practices surrounding Christmas and the absolute origins of it. That's for another program. But I just want you to think that you might not believe that you are committing idolatry because you don't have a little carved out idol that you bow down to, yet you are bowing down to a pagan tradition that has no foundation at all in the Word of God. And you follow this because you believe that you are worshiping God in spirit and in truth. You might be worshiping God in spirit, saying, God, I want to do the right thing. But you're certainly not worshiping God in truth. And I know these are harsh and strong words. But my friends, I'm telling you this because God wants us to know that sin sucks. And sin sucks life out of the soul and leads to death. And I don't want you to die. And that's just how serious this is. Now let's read in Matthew chapter 15 in verses 3 through 9. Jesus asked, why do you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? And transgressing the commandment of God is idolatry. That's one of the commandments of God. So you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition. Hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draws near to me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. My friends, this is a very, very serious matter. People are thinking that they're worshiping God, but their worship is in vain. They think that they're going to heaven, having eternal life, and yet they are on the path to death. That's why I'm warning you about this sin of idolatry. Turn from your evil ways and follow the one true God. Worship him in spirit and in truth.